Begin the current daven, Masechtas Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Beis. Begin on the second line down by the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. And that is, we had said in the Mishnah, on the bottom of Amud Beis in the previous daf, that if there is a city that is their holiday, their pagan holiday for the Avodah Zarah, the people on the outside, the outskirts, who have a settlement right outside the city, are permitted to do business, but then same thing the other way around. So now the Gemara had a question on the second version, that Reb Shimon Lakish asked from Chanina, what sort of, let's say, the marketplace of Aza, which the animal marketplace is right outside the city. What's Aloha over there? They're so close, yet there is still different, and they don't serve the same idol. Would one be permitted to do business with those on the outside? So Reb Chanina said to him, did you never go to Tzur? Tzur is a place where Jews and non-Jews live together. And you see that the Chachamim didn't have a problem with a Jew putting his pot on the oven right next to the pot of a non-Jew. So although they're kosher, non-kosher, right near each other, Chum weren't concerned because they're two distinct pots. So it will be here, even though they're the people from the marketplace outside of Aza is right next to them, but since they're separate, they serve one idol, they serve another one, it's permitted to do business with the ones on the outside, even though right then in the city, they're having their pagan holiday. That was what Reb Chanina answered. On that asked the Gemara, "Mai lechashulem chachamim?" What does Reb Chanina mean with his analogy when he's saying, oh, you know what could have been a problem by two pots and still a chama not concerned, even though they're right near each other. So too, even though this atliza of Aza, this marketplace is right near Aza, it's not a problem even though they're so close. What would have been the concern about the two pots that you see that we're not, just like for here where we have a concern that if inside the city they're celebrating the pagan holiday, maybe those on the outside, what's the comparison that he's saying is not a problem? So the Gemara actually has three different interpretations, one lower than the next. Amar Abaye says, Mishum Bas in the Vela. It's a very big concern that could be when you have a Jewish pot right next to a non-Jewish pot in the same oven because of non-kosher food. Even though there is a biblical concern over here, still the Chacham were not concerned to presume there to be a problem of Isser with the kosher pot out of doubt. And that what that means to say is, we don't say, Dilma Mahadir Api Yisrael Achayr. Maybe the Jewish person, they're both cooking in the same oven, he's going to turn his face around for a moment. Maybe the non-Jew is going to throw a non-kosher piece of meat into the Jew's pot. We see that the rabbis were not concerned about that. That's why you see all the time in Surah that the Jewish pot is right next to the non-Jewish pot. And that's what Reb Chanina was telling him, the Kapasacha Nami here to also in the Harlocha of Avodah Zarah, of Yom Edom, of their holiday. Lechashulem Chachamim, the Chum also didn't have a concern for what could be a biblical problem. Mishum demei avaydes kachavim, because of the monies of avaydes zara. And that is, we do not presume that the monies of avaydes zara are in the hands of the idol worshippers who live outside the city to say that it's forbidden to sell them an animal. Why? Because these monies that they're getting from these people that they're buying for this animal are monies from avaydes zara. Because we could say, wait a second, any animal today that they're buying is because they want to use it for the people inside the city. And they're going to be sacrificed today as Avodah Zarah. Now that's a biblical issur for a Jew to take that money because of L'yidbak B'yad Chama'uma. You're taking idol type of idol worship money. Now, for sure, that is not going to be a concern when we know that it's the money not from the people inside the city, but the people outside the city. Moreover, if we wouldn't even be concerned for a biblical problem like Lo Yidbek B'yat Ma'uma, for sure that could be concerned for a rabbinic concern to say that maybe this person are from like the people that are inside the city and therefore it's his holiday and therefore this person who's doing business with him would be violating the rabbinic decree of doing business with an idol worshiper 3 days before his holiday. For sure we're not concerned for that. But Abaye has the greatest interpretation, what Reb Chanina meant to say in comparing it to these two pots, in Tzur, is that we're not concerned even for a biblical problem. We're, by the two pots, there could be even the biblical problem about Nevela. So too, technically over here, there could be a biblical problem of L'yidbek B'yad Chama'uma Menachem. You're taking idol worship money, and because when you're selling the animal, maybe it's for the people inside, and they're getting the money from the people inside, which is idol money to buy an animal for the idol. We're not concerned for that. We're not concerned for sure not for rabbinic, and for sure not when it's from the money from the people on the outside. That's a biased interpretation. Rav Amar, he takes it a notch down. He says, no, this that Reb Chanina was comparing to this that the Chacham were not concerned when they saw two pots in Tzur, the Jewish pot right next to the non-Jewish pot, was not for non-kosher meat. To learn out similarly that here we weren't concerned for idol worship money, because you can't compare that. Because over there by the Jewish pot right next to the non-Jewish pot, let's say the sensual a cooking area where they had in the town, there's no benefit for a non-Jew to throw a non-kosher piece of meat into the Jewish pot. Moreover, he's actually afraid if the Jew sees, he's going to bring him to court. Now, in contrast, over here in our halacha, here the idols on the idol worshippers on the outside of the city, they're friendly with the people inside the city, and they might be willing to do things for them and buy stuff for them, which that technically might be a real valid concern of the biblical violation of Layidbek Biyotcha Mu'uma Menachem. To the contrary, says Rabbah, no, in that area, we wouldn't compare the two, because yeah, it makes sense they wouldn't be concerned for Bas and Avail over there. In contrast, over here, we should be concerned for the biblical violation of taking idol money, because the people on the outside might actually be doing a favor for the people inside. Rather, he says, what was Reb Chanina saying we could compare from what they were not concerned by the pots to compare in the corollary in our halacha b'Avodah Zarah? That was for a different thing that they weren't concerned over there. That was mishum bishuli ovdei kechavim, because of cooking done by a non-Jew, which is, if you have two pots and the guy's, you know, hey, you're going into the cooking place, you know, go ahead and cook my kosher food too. He might rely on the non-Jew to cook it, which that would be violating a rabbinic precept of Bishul Akam, which the rabbis instituted so that we don't come too friendly and then come to marry their women and so on and so forth, to Avodah Zarah, where that they weren't concerned for, because obviously they allowed the Jew to cook right next to the non-Jew. The Kavasah HaChanami, that's what's being compared over here too, where, yeah, it's obvious that if we see that the monies are not from the monies from the people inside the city. You're right, for that, that actually might be a valid concern that would be problematic. But we're talking about where we know that the monies are, the guy outside the city took it from his own drawer. So we're not concerned anymore for the biblical problem. That's where the Chanina was comparing, and that Leichashlam Chacham, the Chacham were not concerned for the doubt of a rabbinic violation of Mishum Yom Edim, of because of their of doing business with them on their holiday, to be concerned that maybe this non-Jew who's on the outside of this city, really he belongs to the people from inside the city, and you might be doing business with a non-Jew of his on the day of his holiday, which is problematic because then you might go give thanks. That's what Reb Chanina was comparing and saying, you see that we're not concerned for that, even though they're right near each other. And therefore, even though this marketplace is right next to the city, what were they not concerned for? He's saying what he's comparing to Leichashlam Chacham of the two pots was for rabbinic concern. Now, Rabbi Bar Ula, he gives a third interpretation. He goes one step lower. He says that actually, on the day of the holiday of the people of Aza, Reb Chanina did not permit to do business with those who are in the Atluza, meaning in the marketplace, and that's where they live, right outside the city. Because it's not comparable to the two pots. Because over there, he says, not like even Rava, he says, no, there's no concern for Bishul Akum, because that's a much less of a concern, just like where Rava didn't agree to abide, because not such a concern for Bas Navel, he's not going to be throwing it in, and he's concerned he'll be prosecuted. Here also, because by regarding Bishul Akum, the moment the Jew just turns on the fire, does a little bit thing regarding the cooking, it's already no concern about Bishul Akum. In contrast, over here, there's definitely a valid concern that maybe this non-Jew, this idol worshiper on the outside of the city, really belongs to those from inside the city, since he's so close to the city. Now, in actuality, he says that the Mishnah that said that Chutzla Mutter, the people right side of the city are permitted, even though those inside the city are having a holiday, was not talking about so close like Atluza Shel Aza. Now, this Reb Chanina was saying that even Atluza Shel Aza is going to be Mutter, that was not on the Yom Eid itself, on the holiday itself. Actually, on the holiday itself, they would be forbidden to do business with them. Reb Chanina was talking about Lifnei Edehen. He was only talking about in the 3 days before the holiday, then it's going to be permitted to do business with those who are on the outskirts, on the outside of the city. And this is what he was saying. Lechashlem Chacham, and we find by the two pots in Tzur, that the Chacham were not concerned for what? Not that they weren't concerned for Nevela, because that's not a comparison. And not regarding Bishul Akum, that's also not a comparison. Rather, they weren't concerned Mishum Tzinura, because then maybe when they're both cooking, sometimes cooking food is cooking, the food sprays, maybe the food is going to spray from the non-Jewish person's pot into the Jewish person's pot. Now, the reason why they weren't concerned for that was because it's considered a lighter prohibition. First of all, it's not so common. Second of all, even if it would happen, it's really bottle barrive. And the laws of nullification, that little drop that's falling in, is going to be nullified in the whole mass of the pot of the Jewish person's food. But at least they weren't concerned for that tzinoira, for that isukal, So the kavosa chanami. So that's what Rabbi Ba'ula says. That's what Rabbi Hanina was comparing. That lechashlam chacham and mishum lefnei edein. They were also not concerned for also an iser kal, which is for the prohibition of those who are on the outside of the people of Aza, even though they're so close. That's what Rabbi Hanina was saying. That still, it's not even a rabbinic. It's like. It's a rabbinic of a rabbinic in a sense. It's like the holiday itself. Okay, we could understand that you can't do business because then they might go and give thanks. But 3 days before, so that's a more of an Isser Kal. That could be compared to the halachas of the Shtei Kederes. There is where he said that those on the outside, 3 days before, you could do business with them. But on the day itself, that you actually can't do business. And that's because we are concerned for even biblical or even rabbinic halachas because... That we could say that's different over there by Lesha Chashlam Chom, because it's not so problematic, Bishalakam. It's not so common, Basnavela. In contrast, the Isser Kal, that we see they're not concerned, which that's a valid Isser Kal. And then that is what he's comparing to here, to Halacha B'Dezara, an Isser Kal of the 3 days before, that's where in the outside, the Atluza of Aza, is permitted to do business with them the 3 days before. Now the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our Mishnah. It says, "Mad leilach l'sham." It goes on to a different related halacha. What's the halacha? Can you go to the city that there is their pagan holiday that day? Not to do business, of course, but just to go speak with someone. V'chul, etc. Which the Mishnah described that halacha, which the Gemara brings a brisa that elaborates on that. Turn up and learn the brisa. Ish yesh ba'avodas kachavim. A city that has an idol, an idol, which basically what that means is to say, whenever it says these words, yesh ba'avodas kachavim, it means that's the day of their deity's holiday. So, asr likanes l'techa. So it says the first opinion, it's forbidden to go into that city because of suspicion where it looks like that he's also going, because everyone's celebrating that holiday, when he's going in there, that he's also going to serve that idol. Moreover, v'lei m'techa l'archeres, and I'm going to go even into that city to go to a different city. That's the remeir. Now, v'chamem, they say, it depends. If that road goes only to that city where that's where they're celebrating the pagan holiday, that's us, that's forbidden. If it's not only to that place, there's other ways to go, other places to go. Besides to that city, then mutar then is going to be permitted. Now, a related halacha of suspicion regarding Avodah Zarah, the Braisa continues and says, Yashab loy kites. If let's say someone gets a thorn stuck in a splinter stuck in his foot. Now, and it's bifnei avodas kachavim, he's right in front of an idol, and a thorn got stuck in his foot. Says the Braisa, lo yishchav yitlana. He's not allowed to bend down to take it out. Also that of suspicion. It looks like as if he's bowing down to the idol. Now, vim ainin nira, but if it's not seen, which the Gemara is going to explain what does that mean, then mutar then is permitted. Similar halacha. Nispazu le mo'isa bifnei avodas kachavim. Let's say he was holding a purse and his whole wallet emptied out on the floor. So all his money spread out now in front of the idol. I'll bend down and take it. Looks like you're bowing down to the idol. But the main in there, if it doesn't seem like that, then mutar then is permitted. Similar type of halacha. If there's a spring that's flowing in front of an idol, I'll bend down and drink. Looks like you're bowing down to the idol. But the main in there, if it doesn't seem like that, then mutar then is permitted. So too, partzufei samakal chamayim. They would have these statues, these idols that would be hollow inside, and there would be a pipe that of water that was coming through the back inside, and then the water coming out through their mouth. Likrochen in the cities, because that's usually where they have these, like in the large cities, where they have these ostentatious type of statues, and that's why it picks specifically cities, but it's really anywhere. One cannot put his mouth on their mouth, which is where the water is coming out from, and drink. It looks like you're kissing the idol. Kayetzibah, a similar type of halacha of not putting one's mouth straight on the spout of where the water is coming out from, is loyinich piv al silon v'yishta. A person will put his mouth on a pipe that's connected to the ground where water is coming out from, and they ask sakana because of the danger, as the Gemara will say later on, so that he doesn't drink a leech, which is a dangerous type of aquatic creature that might be dangerous if he drinks it. Now the Gemara clarifies, Mayan and Nira. What does the Braisa mean when it says that, but if it's not, doesn't seem like that, then it's permitted to bend down for all these things in front of the idol. Says the Gemara, Ilim et limes chazi. If you think that when it says Ein and Nira means to say that it's that no one sees him doing this, so if no one's looking, so okay, what's the big deal? Bending down in front of the idol. I know I'm not bending down in front of the idol. What's the problem? And that's the Zimah, that can't be. Because Vam Rabbi Huda Marav, he says, wherever the Chacham forbade something which is really permitted, But they said it's forbidden in the maris ha'ayin because of the appearance of the eye, that whoever sees him doing this will suspect him as if he's doing a sin. Then even if the most private, most chambers that a person has, in a place where no one sees him, asr, it's still forbidden. So what does this mean? If it's not seen, then it's permitted. Aleimer rather says the Gemara, if it doesn't appear like as if he's bowing down to the idol, because he's bending down behind or to the side of the idol, meaning the money fell, but he's bowing down to the side or to the back of that, then what then is permitted, although he's bowing down by the idol, as long as he's not bowing down straightly, directly in front of the idol, then that would be permitted. Now, says the Gemara Tzrich, we have to say all those different cases which seemingly were saying the same halacha. Because the Itan, the Kites, had we only said the first case that when he has a thorn stuck in his foot, that he's not to bend down and take it out, because you could continue walking until you're not right in front of the idol and then take it out. So we don't let you take it out in front of the idol because that's a very easy thing to avoid. But if it's money fell over there, there's no other option. They can't. The money's there. The only way he could get it bending down, I would think that we would allow him to take it. That's what we're saying. Even over there, we're not allowed to. Now, if Itan Amais, had we only said the case of the money, that he's not bent down to pick up the money, I would say because they're minor, because it's a monetary thing. Okay, that doesn't allow you to appear like you're serving an idol. Avokoids, Tzara, but regarding a thorn, which is a physical pain, Amaloi, I would say that we wouldn't be concerned for, and we would let him do it. That's why I have to say, even that's forbidden. Now, Vitan the Hanitarte, had we said these two cases of the thorn and the money, I would say Mishum de la Kasakana, because there's no danger. So, okay, physical pain of a thorn, okay, get over it. We don't want to let you be suspected as if you're serving an idol. So, to money. Avama'ayin de Kasakana, but regarding the spring of water where there's danger, de Ilay Shasimais, if he doesn't drink, he can die from dehydration, from thirst. Amalai, I would say, that we wouldn't be concerned. Sricha, that we have to say, that even over there, we don't allow you because it has the appearance as if one is serving and bowing down to the idol. However, the Gemara continues on the base and asks, but partzuf eslamali, why do I need the case of the image, the statue, which has the water spouting out from its mouth? We already said the case of a spring, where even if there's a danger of death from thirst, still it's forbidden, for sure. This case where you look like you're kissing the idol, for sure that's going to be forbidden. Says the Gemara, Mishum de Kabay Lemisni. Right, we only said that case because we wanted to say the next case of Kayoitzabay, that's what's similar to that case, of Loinich Peval Gabe Yasilan, that a person should not put his mouth on the pipe from the ground, the Yishta, and drink from the Asakan because of danger to one's life because of the leech. Because the case of the spring, that case was talking about one's not allowed to bend down. That's not talking about where he's lifting it up with his hand. So therefore, you cannot say by that case, kayoitzeboy, to say the problem about the one who's drinking from the pipe from the ground. In contrast, the case of partzuf is, you're putting your mouth directly on the source of the water, which is the mouth of that statue. That would be appropriate what the Braisa does when it says, kayoitzeboy, so do not put your mouth directly on the source. Because actually, regarding the pipe coming from the ground, if one bends down and drinks with his hands, that's not a danger, because he'll see what's in his hands. He'll see there's a leech, he's not going to drink it. The whole problem is you put your mouth directly on, you don't see what's coming out. That's the problem. That's only similar to the case of partzufis, and that's why we said that case. Which the Gemara clarifies, Maisakana, what's the danger of putting one's mouth directly on the pipe coming out from the ground? He doesn't see what's coming into his mouth. There's a luka, there's a leech, you might drink that. Related to this halacha, the Gemara says, Tarambon lena braisa. La'ishta adamayin, a person is not allowed to drink water, lo'imena haris, not from streams, lo'imena gamim, Minaris is rivers, and not from swamps. Lebepiv, not with his mouth, meaning putting it directly on. You don't see what's going in. And Velebiyadachas, neither even with one hand, because with one hand, a person has to quickly throw it into his mouth and he can't check because it's going to slip out. In contrast, two hands, a person could cup with two hands and hold the water in there and check it. That wouldn't be a problem. But with one hand or with the mouth directly on, that's a problem. Because if he does drink that way, which is a term that his blood is on his head, meaning his life is his own fault, that he's going to die, and that's because of the danger. Which the Gemara says, my sakana, what's the danger? So I said, the Gemara, sakana saluka, because the danger of a leech, where if one just drinks straight in without picking it up first, or with one hand where he has to throw it right in, that he might not see that he's drinking a leech. Says the Gemara, this supports Reb Chanina. He says, Habaleya Nima Shamayim, if someone swallows a leech from the water, Mutalahochim Loichamin B'Shabbos, is permitted to heat up water from on Shabbos, which is Malacha on Shabbos, to drink on Shabbos because it's Sakonas Nefashos. Like we said, it's a danger to one's life, as we learned in the Braisa, which is supporting his Halacha, the Dami Bereshe. Person drinks the leech, he might end up dying. So therefore, we're allowed to warm up water, you're allowed to do Chil Shabbos to save a person's life. There was an incident with somebody who swallowed a leech from the water. Nechemiah permitted them to heat up water on Shabbos. Now, more about the hachav hachi. In the meantime, when they were warming up the water, Amar Rav Huna b'Reid Rishui says, "Liga mechala, let him drink vinegar at least to sustain the process, to stop the process, that he doesn't die quickly, because vinegar has that ability to be mitzamtzim, to contract, not to allow it to take its effect too fast." Similarly to this idea about drinking the vinegar that contracts the process, Amar Ida Bar Oven, he says, "Haiman de bali zibur." If someone swallows a hornet, he's definitely not going to survive. But miu l'shaki reviyasa the chalor shamgas. Let him at least drink very strong vinegar. Efshe the chayav porta. Maybe it'll sustain his life a little bit longer because it contracts the process of the disease. At the mafke da base until he at least gets time to tell his household regarding his last will and testament, regarding the affairs of the household, that just will sustain him a little bit longer. Turn about the brisa. Continuing on this theme of drinking water. And it's dangerous. A person is not allowed to drink, shouldn't drink water at nighttime. Now, if he does drink, the blood's on his own head, it's his own fault, because of the danger. So, what's the danger of drinking water at night? Sakanas shavriri. It's the danger of this demon, the shade, which is appointed on blindness, where if he drinks at nighttime, this demon could affect him negatively. Now, ask the Gemara, but if someone's thirsty, what should he do? Says the Gemara, if there's someone else with him, so Latari, let him wake up that person, and tell him, I'm thirsty for water. When the shade hears that there's another person, he gets scared off and he runs away. Not V life, there's no one else. What he should do is, Nekarkish benachtema achatzva. He should bang the cover of a lid on the lid of the pot on top of the pot, so it makes noise as if there's other people there. So that also scares off the shade. Moreover, let him tell to himself, Planyer bar planisa, his name, the son of his mother's name. Amar lach imach, your mother told you, is dar mishavriri. Be careful from shavriri, who is the name of the shade. And then he would go down and cut down letter by letter. So mishavriri from shavriri, briri, riri, yiri, ri, bakasi chavari with white cups. So this is some type of a lachash, incantation, where he keeps on diminishing the name of the shade, and when the shade hears that one word, letter by letter, his name is going down all the way to Ri, he gets afraid and he runs away from there. And that's why he's called Shavriri, because the word Shavriri is a targum of Sanverim, of blindness. So that's what a person should do in case he's thirsty at nighttime. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on this theme about the holiday of the idolaters, which is forbidden to do business with them on that day and 3 days before. So the Mishnah says, "Ir sheyesh b'avodas kachavim," regarding a city that it's their holiday that day. Now, moreover, the norm for the idolaters was that on the day of their holiday, they would have some type of a fair, some type of a market out there selling things. That would be a celebratory type of a fair. Now, v'hayu b'chanuyis mutaris. Now, there are those that are, if there are stores that are decorated, which is a sign for them, that those stores which are decorated, that's from those stores they take tax for the idol. And v'she'eni mutaris, and there are stores that are not adorned, not decorated. Says the Mishnah, Zeha Yemaisa Beishan. This was actually such an incident that happened in Beishan. V'amachacham, the sages said, Hamutaris asuris. The ones that are adorned are forbidden. The Gemara will explain why. V'she'eni mutaris, and those which are not adorned are permitted. Because those that are not adorned, they don't take taxes for the idol, and there's no benefit that will come to the idol because of this person who's buying from that store, and maybe there's no problem. Now, although we know there's a problem about just general doing business with the idolaters on the day of their holiday, so that's only to sell to them. Because if you're selling stuff to them, you might sell an animal, and you might go ahead and use that animal to sacrifice it to his idol. Or, more additionally, another reason is because the guy, anytime a person buys something, he's happy. He has acquisitions. Acquisition is always good. You have more assets. So then he's going to go ahead and give thanks to his idol. However, to buy from them, moreover, if you're buying that from them something that will last, that's permitted because generally when someone sells something, he's sad. It's a loss. Although he has money, but an asset, which is something that's concrete, a person feels a loss, and therefore, that's what we're saying, for the stores that are not adorned, we're not giving them the benefit of the taxes to the idol, and you're buying from them something that's Dava Meskayim, that's what the Mishnah is saying is permitted. Now, the Gemara's Machlek is how to qualify this halacha of our Mishnah. Amrim Shim Ben Lakish, he says, we didn't learn this halacha, that's forbidden to buy from a store that's adorned. Elam utaris beverid v'hadas. Only a store that's adorned with roses and myrtles, which are used from the sacrifices of the idol. Which that's a sign that these stores are those of the idol. And the problem with that is the komesani mirecha, the person who comes to buy over there, is having benefit from the smell of the roses and the myrtles, which that's what they usually spread out in front of the idol, and that's considered takruvus abitz gechavim. It's like considered part of the sacrifice of the ceremony of the idol, which is forbidden to get any benefit from it. So if you come to that store and you're, it's the holiday season, and you're smelling that rose, that's a prohibition of having benefit from the idol. Mutaris beperus? Mutaris, but says Rish Lakish, but if it's adorned with some types of produce, that's permitted to buy from those types of stores, even though you're going to be paying taxes that's going to go to the idol. That's not a problem, as Rish Lakish is going to explain, that actually one is permitted to be mahana and give benefit to an idol. As Rish Lakish explains, my time, what's the reason? The Amakra, the Pasuk says, in Devarim, lo yidbak biyotcha me'umim menachem, you'll not have anything attached to you from this which is forbidden from the idols. Which teaches you, says Rish Lakish, nenehu da'asir, it's forbidden to have benefit from the idol. However, as we continue to have a Yud Gimel Al, says Rish Lakish, of mahani, shari, but to benefit the idol, that's permitted. Which Tais explains different answers, doesn't mean all types of benefit, but at least in this types of benefit, where just taxes are going to go to the idol, that's not a problem, says Rish Lakish. And the whole problem of the adorned store is only because of the benefit that you might get, like when you enjoy the smell from the roses which were used in the ceremony of the idol itself. Now, Rabbi Yechonam, he disagrees. He says, no. Even though the stores that are adorned with produce is also forbidden because of a kal v'chomer. If having pleasure from the smell of the grasses or from the fragrant spices which are used in the ceremony of the idol is aser, you know, benefit from it, so mahana, so benefiting the idol, which is when you give the taxes that are going to go from these stores specifically to the idol, like kol shekein, isn't all the more so that that's going to be forbidden? And here it's considered benefiting either because these stores actually were owned by the priests and they just had managers, other people working for them, so that's a direct benefit to the idol and their priests. Or even if you're giving to a regular store owner, but he's going to give benefit to the idol through the taxes, that's considered benefiting the idol, which for sure, if you're not having benefit from, for sure not go ahead and benefit the idol itself. In contrast, Rabbi Yechon says, that's what the Mishnah says, if it wasn't adorned, then that has nothing to do with the priest, and there's not going to have any tax collection to the idol. That type of store is permitted, as we said from Rashi, to buy from them a dove miskayim, which is not a problem about business, and there's not going to be a problem of being mahana or being nene from the Avodah Zarah. But mahana, of course, says Rabbi Yechon, not like Rish Lakish, of course, are going to be forbidden to do for the idol.